Texas Business Minds, a presentation of the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas. In this download, Dallas Business Journal Associate Editor Alexa Reed profiles the entrepreneur who's building the Uber of furniture.
Cameron Johnson is the founder and CEO of Nixon Living, a Dallas-based startup offering subscription furniture rental services. Johnson has extensive background in the real estate industry, having spent time at Goldman Sachs and Greystar Real Estate Partners, but found a hole in the industry he wanted to fill. Established in 2017, Nixon Living provides solutions to the real estate vertical by furnishing homes and apartments with move-in-ready, custom-designed living spaces. With a $12 million Series A fund in his back pocket, Johnson is here to discuss more about Nixon Living, what it takes to successfully scale a business, and what is next for his company. Hi, Cameron. How you doing?
Hi, Alexa. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Good. Thanks for joining us. So you found Nixon Living in 2017. Why did you choose Dallas as your startup market? And which markets are you currently in and which ones are you targeting to hit next?
So Dallas was, at the time and still is, a great market to build a business that's based on apartment renters primarily. So Dallas, as you know, is growing rapidly. It was the number one market for apartment developments at the time and still on the leaderboard. And so that combined with its infrastructure, meaning that, you know, there's a lot of renters in New York, LA, San Francisco, but those places don't have, you know, major highways or apartment buildings where you can, you know, back up a truck. And so Dallas had this unique combination of factors where it not only had an urban transient population, but it also had the infrastructure in place where you could build a business that's aimed at disrupting moving without facing crazy challenges that would be presented by other markets. And currently we operate in Dallas, Austin, Houston, San Antonio, Fort Worth, and Oklahoma City.
While I was researching Nixon Living and kind of getting our interview prepped, I had just seen that y'all had just hit Dallas. So it's great to already hear you guys are already kind of out and expanding to other markets. Is there any interest outside of Texas at all?
Yes. So we've run pilots in LA, Philadelphia, Chicago, Washington, D.C., and Miami. And the short answer is Nixon works everywhere, as far as we can tell. And so with our next round of funding, which we hope to close in 2024, we will expand outside of Texas into another major metro or into multiple other major metro areas.
And I wanted to expand, if you wanted to, a little more on what you just said about closing your next round of funding in 2024. Can you elaborate any more? Can you reveal any secrets behind that yet? I mean, it's really exciting just to get more funding, just to grow.
Yeah, so it's a tough fundraising environment for, you know, in venture landscape and otherwise, right? The economy has been somewhat of a roller coaster with interest rates and Silicon Valley Bank earlier this year. And so we're in the process now of identifying additional funders. So, you know, luckily for us, we've grown meaningfully since our Series A and have had a lot of good traction. And so investors are pretty interested in our deal and looks like we're going to be able to raise 3, 4, 5 times X what we did last time in order to really, really grow. No ink is dry and final numbers are to be determined, but it does seem like we are going to get hopefully what amounts to a catalytic amount of capital to keep growing.
That's very exciting for Nixon Living in terms of next steps. And similarly to what you, I assume what you did with the Series A funding is grow into just grow Nixon Living more than what it was before. Is that kind of the plan with this new funding as well?
Yep. Continue to grow, but also to reach enterprise level profitability.
Oh, great.
So right now we have very profitable unit economics and our business is, we effectively have an actual business that is Nixon, right? Where someone wakes up every day, furniture items go into trucks and go into homes. That business is profitable today, but we also are investing a lot in growth. And so in totality, we aren't profitable. But with this next round of funding, we hope to get the entire enterprise profitable and really control, you know, sort of our future, become less reliant on third-party capital.
I look forward to hearing more about this news coming in 2024. Congratulations again. So talk to me about the clientele you target. Is it primarily just individuals looking for their homes, wanting to be furnished with the ease of not having to pack up everything? Are you targeting real estate management firms that kind of house a bunch of residential developments like apartments and stuff? So kind of talk me through that.
Yep. So our primary target is apartment renters. Well, and I guess all renters, but most renters live in apartments. And we target individuals. So our goal wasn't to build a furniture rental company, right? A traditional furniture rental company where, say, you can come rent a couch for a month and, you know, turn it back in. Our goal was to actually to solve moving. We realized that there is a major, major pain point that every renter must face because apartments come empty. So when you get a new apartment or even a new home, most times you don't get a place to live. You get a place to put your things, which means you have to move into it most times yourself. And so our goal was to eliminate that problem altogether, right? So in order to occupy an apartment, similar to how you can add cable or internet, we thought, well, why can't you add everything else? And our experience in real estate said that, you know, indicated that people were actually trying to rent the model homes in apartment buildings, right? There's one that's fully furnished. And the question is, why can't I just have this one? And so our goal was to let people just show up and just have this one. And so our target is really all renters of apartments. And we thought it was going to be a subset, like, let's just call it lazy millennials, right? I have a smartphone. I want to be able to order food from this phone. I want to be able to order clothes from this phone. I want to be able to move in, right? We were very surprised that our customers are a subset of all renters, which the average renter is age 39. And so we have seen people in many different life stages, be it someone who's maybe coming to the United States to attend university for the first time and they show up with nothing. Someone who's moving to Dallas or Houston to take their first job. Even professional athletes, someone gets traded to the Houston Texans and needs to show up in Texas and have a place to live or put their family, all the way up to different life stages. Like someone gets divorced and one person needs everything quick, fast, and in a hurry. And even up from there, we serve as senior housing, meaning that you have to move in one of your loved ones into a senior housing facility. Well, that room typically comes empty and the adult child or caregiver has a big furnishing problem on their hands, except, you know, with Nixon, we make it relatively easy. So we have found that there are several use cases over people's lifetime where they need everything, but don't have a need to own it. They still want flexibility, but they need to be able to get into a home and turn it into a place to live really quickly and easily.
And some of the target audience that you just kind of noted, I didn't even think that that would be people who get divorced. They want to go somewhere and they don't have anything and they don't have the commitment to own anything yet. So that's very interesting on the base point of the clientele that you do target. Now, with a company like Nixon Living, I assume vendor relationships would be an important aspect because you're taking furniture, whether or not Nixon owns it, but you're maybe taking furniture from vendors and partnering with them. So how do you maintain those relationships and develop new ones?
Vendor relationships are key to our business. You can't just show up somewhere and get 1,000 sofas, if you will, right? So you have to have a relationship and hopefully you're getting preferred pricing. So we are a registered interior design firm, which allows us to create trade relationships. And a lot of times how you foster those is by attending furniture shows. So there are these really big, they call them markets, really big markets in Las Vegas and High Point, North Carolina, where you go and it's like speed dating. You're meeting art vendors and rug vendors where everyone in the nation who sells anything into retail or online, you go and it's like a huge marketplace and you're trying to find, you know, vendors that have products that would work for you. And also there, it's a two-way street. And so they also want to ensure that their product works for you and your customer. And so once you're able to get your foot in the door, you do an order. And then if it all goes well, you continue to do more orders and you stay in touch. And then it even becomes like really like dating in terms of friends of friends. And so if you love your rug vendor, you ask them, well, do you know someone who does art? And do you know someone who does towels? And because, and for us, it's everything. We have to get down to, you know, waste baskets, right? We partner with Simple Human to power our accessories. And we provide ironing boards and curtains. And so we have dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of vendors to get everything that goes into a home. And so that's it's really a key point for us. And we brought in a gentleman from Wayfair in their strategic sourcing group who was able to bring a lot of his relationships and really level up our vendor profile.
That's great. And it sounds like it's just continuing to expand. And I was reading on Nixon's website too, that y'all provide dishware too. So like pots and pans, silverware. So pretty much everything you got to think of in terms when it comes to these vendor relationships.
So roughly 250 items on average. And our goal is if you would go looking for it in your home, say a wine key or a toaster, and otherwise order it on Amazon, we want to provide it for you. So we want it to be there. So when you show up, your house is ready to go. And so it does require us to sometimes scour the world to try to find things and get them at a price that makes sense for our customers. Well, for us, and then ultimately our customers, so that we can, our goal is to delight. Our true competitor is self-performance, right? People are doing this for themselves. They're going to IKEA, Target, Wayfair, West Elm, you name it. And so our goal is to make sure we would provide a home that is hopefully as good, if not better, than you would otherwise have done for yourself.
I wanted to go back and touch base on your career. And so you come from the real estate industry. You've already kind of touched on the hole that you wanted to fix, which is people coming in and they want to buy the model that they see. So you spent time at companies such as Goldman Sachs and Greystar Real Estate Partners. What made you want to leave the conventional stable job to start a business, and kind of what inspired you to develop kind of your idea to leave, to be comfortable enough to leave and risk starting a business of your own?
So the first time I got the idea for Nixon and when I actually left to do it, that time span ranges, it's roughly 5 or 6 years. And so I realized this was a problem. It's been a problem that I've experienced my whole life. So full disclosure, I grew up as an army brat. And so we moved every 3 or 4 years. And then I moved 7 times in 8 years in my young adulthood, which was, you know, often for new opportunities. So college, grad school, getting engaged, take a new job, right? All happy and positive things. But then it was like, oh, I have to move. And that's a massive pain. And so all of a sudden, like, joy is met with pain at every turn, and all, like, as you chase these opportunities. And so in realizing that, you know, I wasn't alone, and there was a huge, huge, huge population suffering the same pain in order to sort of chase their dreams, I thought, well, you know, maybe there's an opportunity to, you know, as I referenced before, provide a solution that meets the problem, because an apartment or a rental home is inherently a temporary place to live. You're signing a 12-month lease, right, on average, right? So average person renews roughly 50% of the time. And so it is inherently a transient place to live, but in order to occupy it, you have to own a set of permanent belongings, right? Mm-hmm. So renting is going with owning, and therein lies the pain. So can renting go with renting? And so that was the thesis. And there had to be some, you know, you have to build conviction before you just walk away from your paycheck. And so in order to do that over the years, not only in just telling people and seeing, oh, you know, how many people say, you're crazy, this will never work, this makes no sense, I love moving, you're just completely wrong. That never happens. So you start to say, okay. And then realize, you know, at least in our business, furniture rental exists, luckily. And the most successful company is called Court. It's owned by Berkshire Hathaway or, you know, Mr. Warren Buffett. And so you start to say, okay, you know, Mr. Buffett's made a pretty penny in his time. And so he's made a bet on furniture rental. So furniture rental works economically. People hate moving, but no one rents furniture. And so that might be a really big opportunity. And ultimately, I left right before I turned 30. And that was almost because of life. Like, I'm married and had a condo and was going to get a house, and we moved close to the grandparents, and you could start to see quote unquote life taking place. And so I ultimately made the jump why I thought I had the chance, because, you know, you can jump and fail and then go back to where it's safe. But if you stay where it's safe and keep going, then you start to get responsibilities and liabilities that are tied to what you have. And so, quite frankly, you know, my time was kind of running out. And so that was kind of a push. And on a personal perspective, 6 months before I started Nixon, my father had passed away. And so his time had actually ran out. And so it's kind of all these combination of factors where I said, well, yeah, maybe it's worth a shot. You could always fail and get back up, but if you never take the chance, you may never take it. And so that's, sorry, a bit of a longer story, but that's kind of how I got here.
No, I mean, that's great. It's great that to hear you tie in professional and personal motivations to start Nixon Living. And starting any business is a risk out the gate because you never know. You never know if it's going to be successful. And like you said, you can fail and get back up, but if you never try, you may never end up doing it. And I think that's interesting, especially with the landscape here in DFW. And we're seeing quite a bit of movement in the entrepreneurial space here in this market. So can you shed some light on the entrepreneurial landscape here? And what are some unexpected challenges you have had to face since starting Nixon?
In DFW, entrepreneurs face both, I would say, some tailwinds and some headwinds. The tailwinds are, it is, and this is becoming, you know, increasingly less true, but it is relatively affordable. And so in DFW, you can find a pretty good place to live for a relatively reasonable amount of money as compared to markets like Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, Chicago. And so entrepreneurs face initially maybe needing less to be able to take a chance, but that's also countered by, you know, the fact that we're not a hub for venture and tech investments. And so attracting capital can be a bit of a challenge, especially if you're raising from the coast where a lot of the venture capital firms and financial backers are based. And so it was relatively easy to start. And there's some good infrastructure. Dallas Entrepreneurship Center is where I ultimately started. And it was a great place. And it's welcoming. And it's friendly. And you can get a desk. And it's not going to, you know, break the bank. And so I found Dallas itself to be very accommodating for being able to kind of take a step back from an income perspective. But at the same time, it was challenging because, again, there's not a lot of, and this is changing, but there weren't a lot of investors here. And I was surprised that even though Texas is home to five of the 15 largest cities in the nation, people who have not been here don't necessarily understand it. And so there was a lot of education to be done as to, you know, why this would work and are there enough people there? And it's like, it was to some outsiders, like almost like a foreign country. Wow. Down here. And so that was very surprising along the journey.
Cameron Johnson joining us. Next, who helped inspire him? When Texas Business Minds continues.
This year at Texas Mutual Insurance Company, we're celebrating 25 years of dividends and a record $340 million dividend distribution to Texas businesses. See how business is better with Texas Mutual at texasmutual.com/dividends.
Did you find any sort of mentorship helpful? Any sort of in that realm of guidance of this education that you say you needed to come down here and learn kind of how the environment was in entrepreneurship?
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough to win a entrepreneurship tour called Rise of the Rest, put on by a company called Revolution, which is founded and run by Steve Case, the founder of AOL. And Steve, you know, I take zero credit for this. Steve himself realized, you know, that he made a whole fund dedicated to investing in markets that were effectively orphaned by Silicon Valley. And so they came to Dallas and hosted a Texas competition. And so any startup in Texas, you know, and especially DFW could apply. They picked the top eight and then you're selected. You go on stage and you pitch. The winner on the spot gets $100,000. More importantly, it's an investment from Steve Case and all the resources that they have. And so I, along with Nixon, was fortunate enough to win that. And that really changed things. That gave us some credibility from Silicon Valley. It wasn't necessarily the money that you received, but it was the vote of confidence and then their knowledge on the challenges that you would face in a market that wasn't a top tier venture market, you know, was very helpful. And then subsequently, we also won the Harvard Business School Alumni New Venture Competition for, you know, the Southeast region of the United States, which spans from effectively Texas through Atlanta. And so with those two things combined, we were able to get access to, you know, resources, and they were both really credentializing in terms of allowing people who weren't here to say, oh, they might actually be onto something. Let me take a closer look.
Kind of sounds like that was right out the gate of getting started. When you established Nixon Living, you had just said that there's another similar furniture rental service that is more or less kind of the same thing. What makes Nixon Living stand out amongst its competitors?
So the typical furniture rental company is going to be positioned a bit different than Nixon, meaning that they're solving, you know, your furniture rental problem, right? I need a table, I need a desk. And so in answering the question of if people really dislike moving, which ranks like top five most stressful life events behind things like divorce and death of a loved one. So if people really, really dislike moving and furniture rental companies exist, well, why does no one rent furniture? And so we realized a few things, and that became the core tenets of Nixon. One, furniture rental is relatively expensive, meaning that it's not built for you to take everything. They assume you'll take a table, you might take a couch. But if you're going to take everything your home needs, think three or four bar stools, dining table, dining chairs, floor lamp, media stand, coffee table, side chair, sofa, flat screen TV. Just getting started. We haven't even gotten to the bedroom. Those items might cost $50 to $100 a month, but when you start adding it all up, you'll be out easily $600 to $1,000, if not more, a month. So it's very expensive. And so we made Nixon very affordable and made it all inclusive. So that's another one. Two, furniture rental companies are built to give you items, not everything. And so you would have to, even if you decided to do it, you would have to go on their website or go into a store and pick all those items. The only issue would be for you, you're going to do all that effort. And then next time you move, you have to do it all over again, which is even worse than actually owning things. At least if you buy everything, you buy it once and you have it. And so traditional furniture rental is not, like, doesn't beat self-performance in that perspective. And then also it's not convenient. If you don't want to move, you need to show up and everything needs to be there. Well, with furniture rental, unlike Nixon, an adult has to be present to receive everything. So if you rent a bed, you have to be home to get your bed. Well, how do you move into somewhere with nothing and then wait for everything? And so self-performance ultimately wins, because if you have a truck downstairs and there's a bed on it, if you get that bed upstairs, you could at least sleep on it that night, even though it's a pain to get it upstairs. And then traditional furniture rental is not very comprehensive. We talked about the 250 items that Nixon provides on average, all inclusive. You get everything. You don't have to select anything. Well, a traditional furniture rental company, it wouldn't really make sense to rent you, you know, a laundry basket or hangers or a clock, all the things that make your house a home, right? You can go buy a laundry basket from Walmart for $9.99, give or take. And so even though you would want to rent furniture, you would have to have a lot of soft items. Think like your duvet cover, again, your laundry basket, your waste basket. And so by the time you have all those soft items, you might as well have everything else, because it's going to be a truckload worth of stuff. And so Nixon is the only platform that is positioned to be all-inclusive, extremely convenient, affordable, and comprehensive. That's how we've been able to steal market share. Actually, again, our biggest competitor is self-performance. So we've been able to convince people, instead of doing it yourself, you should do it with us, because quite frankly, the people we service weren't renting furniture. They were going to go to IKEA or West Elm or Facebook Marketplace and try to figure it out.
Now, building a business from the ground up is no easy task, as we've talked about during this conversation. What is needed other than being a different company offering different services? What is needed to successfully scale a business to increase market share or to increase offerings?
When you start a business, you get into the I need customers game, right? It's all about customers or users, right? They are what generates revenue, and that ultimately is what's going to keep the lights on to make the whole thing work. And so what we have found is a laser focus on the problem you were trying to solve to deliver value to your customer is ultimately what's needed. I say that to say there are a lot of distractions along the way. Once you get in the game, you might realize there are so many other problems you can solve and so many other use cases and so many other customers. Like, for example, for us, we are around during COVID. And so do we pivot? And now are we a work from home company because we can install anything in a contactless way? So, but that, while exciting, was not the core problem. And so if you want to speak to a direct person and solve a direct problem, having a laser focus on that problem and the value you're creating for your user is really helpful. We have found if you do that, and if you have somewhat of the right idea, your customer will give you feedback and you will get better and better and better from that positive feedback loop. And it will enable you to grow and scale and service more customers who look like your initial customers who took a chance on you.
You've done a lot with Nixon Living in the last 6 years since you first launched, from building its foundation to growing its clientele to securing funding in 2021. Now we have this new funding coming in next year, which is super exciting. What is next for Nixon Living? What's coming down the pipeline? What's getting you excited as its founder and CEO? What's coming next?
We hope to keep growing and to grow in a profitable way. But there are some exciting things as we grow that weren't there before. When you're small, you are trying to survive. And so you don't have a lot of extra resources to do things that would be nice to have, right? You do the essentials and everything else, you got to make do. And so we're excited about being able to make, additional investments in technology and infrastructure that we haven't been able to do before that will hopefully allow us to bring more features and different components to our customers. For example, one thing we launched after 2021 was custom artwork. So we realized that we provide standardly when you arrive at your home, there will be art on your walls, but it's art that we have commissioned to be manufactured that we install for you. And based on a small pilot, we realized that people might, like to take some pictures off their phone, upload them, and have them included. So when you walk in, like it's a picture of you from, graduation or from your wedding or of your dog or your favorite vacation. And so we now allow people to upload photos. We'll print them, they're framed behind glass, and they'll be installed in your home, and they're yours to keep when you leave. And so it's things like that where we feel like we haven't even scratched the tip of the iceberg. We've solved the moving problem, but now what else can we solve? How much more can we do that hopefully separates us and continues to bring joy and delight to the customer?
It really is very customizable. I've never heard of a company being able to do that in terms of just furniture rental. And I think that's fascinating because you're finding the little ways to make a home feel like a home.
Thanks to Nixon founder Cameron Johnson for joining us. And thank you for downloading Texas Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas.